And Burke is gone already. Well, hello everyone. This is Best of Build, and we are going to talk. Well, what are we going to talk about, Frank? Frank, mute! Mute, Frank, unmute! Here you go.
Someone muted me.
All right, so Frank, so good to have you here. What are we going to talk about?
I think it's an easy guess to say cloud native, but what's cloud native?
It's a great question. And to talk about that, we are here. We have half an hour. My name is Laurent Bugnon. I'm a cloud advocate. And with me, I have Frank.
That can now speak. So I'm also a cloud advocate working with Laurent.
Absolutely. And yes, cloud native, this is a great question. What do we mean when we say cloud native? It's one of those buzzwords, a little bit like serverless, a few years ago, right? So I think it's worth maybe recapping a little bit. And reminding people that we have a few places that you can put things in the cloud, right? We have infrastructure as a service, IaaS, and then we have which is essentially virtual machines, so basically big PCs running in the cloud, right? And then we have at the other end, we have something that we call SaaS, software as a service, which is essentially it's, as a user, you don't worry about anything. It's like Word in the cloud or Excel in the cloud, right? Which you open in a web browser. And somewhere in the middle, we have kind of the sweet spot, at least for me as a developer, that's a little bit how I feel. This is PaaS, platform as a service. And this is really where we have things like, for example, app service, which are going to run web servers, okay? And then we are going to have also things like Azure Functions, for example. This is more serverless. Let's talk about that in a second. And we have maybe Azure SQL Database also. So all things running as a service. And that is really cool. As a developer, this is going to help us very easily deploy applications to the cloud, create services without having to worry too much about the server, but we still worry a little bit about it. We can still configure things. And so that's why I said it's a little bit the sweet spot. And I mentioned Azure Functions. This is something we called serverless. Okay. We also consider that as cloud native. What is serverless really, Frank?
Well, serverless should be named the other way around. So it should be less server. So where you think only about a piece of code or a flow, depending on if you are on, for example, Azure Function or if you are in Logic App. This way you would just, it just get triggered by event and it just happens like that. It's scaled automatically. Mm-hmm. You just need to think about the piece of code of your piece of flow that you want. So really useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely very useful. And it is a great place that we use sometimes to deploy, for example, APIs, application programming interfaces, right? Something that you can call from a client, and this client can be for example, a JavaScript client, it can be a .NET client. If it's a rich client, it can be a Blazor client. If you do web assembly, it can be all kinds of things. And we already mentioned app services. We mentioned Azure Functions, serverless. We can also mention Logic Apps. Logic Apps, it's like a workflow-based application that you build with almost no code, or sometimes even no code at all. We have also things like EventGrid, which allows to connect services together. We have also things like API management. And I know that, Frank, you're going to talk about API management in just a moment with Miao Jiang. And so let's talk a little bit about that. But maybe before we go there, let's watch a video that I prepared, and which is talking about PaaS, about platform as a service, and seeing how those are being created and prepared. All right, so let's roll the video. This is here, as you can see, the Azure portal, and I'm going to start by creating a new web application. This web application is, an app service. I'm going to create a resource group where I put everything into it, because maybe later I will have also a database, etc. I give it a unique name, and here you see that I can choose a platform. And so this is really cool. When I said you worry a little bit about the server, that's what I mean. You worry about what's running about the server, but now not about patching it, about always having the latest version, all right? We are going to choose a region. Here in this case, I choose Western Europe. This is close to where I am in Switzerland. And then I'm going to create an app service plan. The app service plan is what your web server is running on, if you want. This is going to define what resource you have, for example, how much RAM, how much storage, et cetera, et cetera. There are also some free service plans for development, by the way. So here I created one, and later we'll see that you can easily change it. And then after that, I go into the deployment center. And here, this is really cool because I can, as a preview here, actually create a GitHub action, which is going to execute every time that I push some code to my GitHub repo to the main branch. So here we see the GitHub action, which is being created automatically. And it's going to commit that into my repo. And then after that, it means that for the first deployment and then for every subsequent times that I commit, it's going to deploy automatically. Then a good practice, I'm going to enter some tags. I like to enter who created a resource like this. If you try to track later who did what, it's a little bit easier. And now I'm ready to actually create this app service. This is going to take a moment. I cut here so that we don't have to wait. The app service is created. And now we see that we have actually a URL. So I'm already ready to load this website. There is nothing. There is nothing because the action is not done running yet. So I told you that I had a repo. I actually put in this repo a very, very simple ASP.NET based web application. And my GitHub action is running. It's going to take a few moments. It's pulling actually all the dependencies. It's building on the GitHub server. And again, this is happening every time that I commit something. And now we see that this default template, the ASP.NET template, is running. Now, let's take a look at some of the features of App Service. So you see that you can set, for example, some custom domain. You can set up TLS SSL for HTTPS, all right, some certificates. And you can also scale up. So scale up means that you're going to change your App Service plan, for example, to have more power or anything. You can also scale out. Scale out meaning I'm going to deploy the same application to multiple servers, either manually like I did before or based on some metrics. For example, if my CPU is running too high and I need to have more servers to handle that. Now let's take a look at the metrics. So this is application insight. You see, this is actually my personal website, which is running here. I see that I have some failures. Most of those failures are actually 404 because I see I have people looking for old content, which doesn't exist. It's a good reminder for me to actually set some redirects. Now, Application Insight is also available for Azure Function. So here I'm in Azure Function. I can see an Azure Function application which is running. If I go here, I can see some graphs. And I also have some similar features that I have in App Service, for example, TLS, SSL, etc. I also have CORS, which is, of course, a security feature. When you want to call from JavaScript, you have to set it up. Quick demo about Logic App now. You see that we have here a workflow-based programming language, I almost want to say, but of course, this is no code. Here, I'm going to post a message to Microsoft Teams, and we have tons of connectors. For example, I can decide here to go and to add a new connector. We have literally hundreds of connectors that you can use, and like Jeff Holland says, this is all code that I don't need to write myself, right? So this is really cool. For example, I can decide to to send a mail via my Gmail account when something happens in this Logic App. So again, something really powerful and really strong. So it was kind of a whirlwind tour, if you want, of some of the platform as a service that we have on Azure. What did you think, Frank? Did you like it?
I like it. It was a lot of stuff, though. But yes, it was a nice tour. There's one thing also, we didn't mention it. I know because time was limited, but we could also use container in a...
Exactly. This is a great point. Yeah. And one thing I want to mention is that when I deployed when I created my app service, I said I want to deploy from code, right? And so it connected to my GitHub repo. It does magic. Yeah. But I could actually there also select to deploy from a container. And I believe that you have actually a guest who's going to help us understanding a little bit more about containers and all that. It's not really my specialty, but hopefully this is your guest specialty. So who do you have here?
Let's bring on stage Shane to talk about containers and Kubernetes. Hello, Shane. How are you?
Hey, I'm going to try and do a little bit better starting than Burke did. not trip coming out of the gate here. So, so containers is, it's a way to package up your code, right, and easily deploy it to your target a platform. And that could be app service, it could be Kubernetes, it could be Azure Container Service, which we're, don't really have that anymore, but it can be a place. It's basically just a set of a way to just kind of put everything that your app depends upon and really just kind of put it in a box, a container, and then be able to deploy that. And you can do that with Azure DevOps or GitHub Actions, a number of ways, depending on how you want to operate.
That's really cool. And like as a developer, I find that very useful because now I can share my code and I know it will easily work on my buddy machine or something like that.
Yeah, they work on your machine, my machine, anybody's machine, right? Exactly the same.
But let's go with a bold statement here. Like, I don't want to get in trouble, anyone. I'm a .NET developer. I code in different languages also, but mainly .NET. Mm-hmm. Why should I care about AKS? Because it, from my point of view, it looked like infrastructure.
Right. It's that's an interesting thing. I think a different way to ask that question is, why do I need Kubernetes, right? And I think when you look at Kubernetes, and AKS is Azure's Kubernetes service, right? Our managed service for that. Many folks are really quick to just jump to that, right? And that's like, hey, I want to drive, so let me get a Ferrari, right? They just like, wait a minute, let's slow down a little bit. Because if you're just writing in .NET, you just have a web application, let's say it's just Blazor server or maybe a Razor Pages app, you really just need app service, right? That's all we really need. And maybe you have an Azure function in the back that talks to an event or something like that. You can run all that in app service. You do not need the full power and extensibility and all the things that Kubernetes will do for you. If you have, where Kubernetes really comes in is I have a huge architecture that has a ton of different services that needs to scale independently of one another. I need to manage all those things and uptime and downtime and dependencies and things like that. That's where we need the power of Kubernetes to manage multiple services. And it does have infrastructure because we're managing VMs and pods and deployments and scalability. So that's where that infrastructure comes in, where it's not just, we don't use the word, it's not just that. It's a lot more than that as well.
Okay. And that container and Kubernetes, that's all over the place. It's on-prem and all cloud and stuff like that. But Let's bring it in Azure. So because I know time is flying and I also want to talk about Azure Arc, but let's talk Kubernetes. Can I use that in Azure?
Yes. And that's AKS, right? That's Azure Kubernetes Service. Yeah. So we would just, that's our managed service, and other cloud vendors also have their managed services as far as Kubernetes is concerned. That is, Kubernetes is kind of platform agnostic.
Okay. And like AKS for Azure Kubernetes Services.
Correct.
And why is that so cool? Why instead of creating a VM in Azure, I would use that service?
Because it's a managed service, right? So we manage that. We have a control plane that we take care of, that we manage for you. Really, you have to worry about just deploying your app into that particular service, and we will take care of the actual managing plane of the actual Kubernetes services underneath and those VMs that go there. You just have to basically worry about how many pods do I need, what's the scalability that I need, and just worry about the actual tooling on top of that. So that's there, right? Yeah.
More focus on my app. So that's why it's quite cloud native. Like, I don't need to think more about too much, just like my app, how it should be working and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay. And what's the big deal then? What's the link if we try to touch a little bit? Because I know we'll be more discussed in the next segment with Nora, but what about AKS and Azure Arc?
Yeah. So Azure Arc is interesting because what that allows us to do is take things like Kubernetes and manage our Kubernetes instances across the planet, right? So if I have Kubernetes instances on-prem, in Azure, maybe in another cloud provider on the edge, I can manage all of that through Azure Arc and just kind of be able to touch all those and manage those instances from a single point, like a single pane of glass, without having to kind of log into those individual places and manage that stuff individually. I can do it in one pane of glass. And that's a big, and there's a lot more to Azure Arc, and we can get into that in the next segment, but you got 5 seconds to make that transition.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, okay. We'll have all the link in the chat. And if you're watching it on demand, I'm sure it's in the description. But let's bring back Laurent, because I don't want to steal too much of your time.
No, it's really good, and I really love this discussion. It's good sometimes to, you know, set back some, how should I say, some basic understanding, and really container is super important. But now I really have something I would like to show. Maybe people who watch Bill remember the famous Jeff US demo, right? So what is this demo? We are going to welcome Andrew Wetzgarth. Andrew, you are a PM on Azure Arc service team, and you are dealing with hybrid offerings. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right. So maybe what we can do is start by watching Jeff's video, and maybe we can roll the video now and remember this this demo right now. Thank you for rolling the video.
Okay. So while we've gotten the basics of my app running, there's one more piece here we want to get working, and that's here on the dashboard. You'll notice we want to pull in data from HVAC systems, but these HVAC systems are running on premises behind a firewall. So we need to be able to run one of our apps on premises next to the HVAC system. Now, usually when I run a run outside of Azure, this is where things get a bit more complicated with serverless. If I wanted to take something even like the dashboard that we started with, there's going to be a number of changes that I'm going to have to make so I can deploy it to run next to the HVAC system. So let's go ahead and jump back to the project to show what we would need to do. And the first thing is I'm going to have to figure out how to containerize the code that we wrote. So I'm going to need to learn and craft something like this Docker file. Likely, I'm going to be using something like Kubernetes to run everywhere, which now means I also have to learn and write something like this deployment manifest. All of these concepts, all of this YAML, this is all additional overhead that I didn't have to deal with before when I was just publishing to these Azure platform services. So how can we bring the benefits that we had before while still being able to deploy flexibly on the edge? And I can do exactly this with Azure Arc. With the new Azure Arc capabilities, I can deploy our application services anywhere the same way I deployed to Azure, just by changing the region. So let me go ahead and show you that now. Here, I've switched over to another project. This is a serverless workflow, a logic app. And you can see here what it's doing. First, I'm calling that HVAC system to get the APIs. I'm going to process it with some functions and update a SQL database. I love using tools like Logic Apps because it comes with another set of great features. In this case, here's over 400 connectors that I get out of the box. Each one of these icons is code that I don't have to write to integrate and process my data. Now, after I built this workflow, how do I get this running on premises? Well, I'm using Azure Arc, so let's just go ahead and change the region. Here on my project, I've got this environments file. Now, previously, we've been deploying to East US. So let's go ahead and create a new environment. We'll call it our edge environment. I'm going to set the location to Jeff US. And you may be asking yourself, what's Jeff US? I've never heard of that region before, which makes sense because this is a custom location only available in my subscription. In fact, this is Jeff US. This laptop has Kubernetes running on it, and I've registered it with Azure Arc with the custom location Jeff US. So by running Azure Arc, I can now run the entire application platform right on this device next to those HVAC systems. So let's go ahead and do that now. I'm going to come back in here and publish the changes we made on the regions. I'm going to use the same flow I did before, create a brand new commit in my code base, push that up to my GitHub account. It's kicking off those same GitHub actions. It's using the same Azure APIs. It's deploying that workflow and that function code. Here now in my subscription, there's that function, there's that workflow, but in this case, it's not running in East US. It's running on my laptop in Jeff US using Azure Arc. So coming back here to our dashboard, I can go ahead and update this HVAC system. There we go. The data has now come to life. I've been able to get my solution working across cloud and edge seamlessly.
Wow, so that's really a pretty cool demo. And Jeff US, it seems so easy. He said, well, I just have Azure Arc running, but I'm not totally sure what it means. So Andrew, maybe you can explain that to us a little bit there.
Yeah, so there's a small flow. And it takes about 20 minutes to get up and running. So first off, you need to have a Kubernetes cluster, you know, various CNCF distros available, and then you Arc connect that. So it becomes an Arc connected Kubernetes cluster. Then on top of that, we have a concept which is Kubernetes extensions. And this enables us to lay down some of the components for our services so that we can interact with them from Azure. So you would go into the connected clusters portal, look to extensions, and then you just add today the application services extension, which enables you to run web, function, and logic apps in this role. We also launched event grid topics and API management gateway as well at Build, so they're pertinent to actually look at for customers as well. But once you've done that, we also pull in what we call a custom location, which is where you saw Jeff US. And what that really refers to is a namespace on the Kubernetes cluster. But to a normal user who's not comfortable with Kubernetes, it's a way to address where my resources are actually going to go. So it may be like my HVAC system in my factory in Oslo or something like that. And that's how you can refer to it. And then from there, you as an operator can hand over the cluster to your developers. Your developers don't need to know anything about Kubernetes, but they're comfortable with all of our primitives, web apps, functions, logic apps. And they just go through the same crate experience, the same dev tools, the same CLI. Everything's the same. The only thing that they choose is, oh, I need to go to this location. And if you do it through a web app create or anything like that in the portal now, you'll see custom locations, ACEs if you've got app service environments, and then all of the Azure regions. So they're all listed for you to easily find them, and it's the same deployment experience. And you'll start to see features such as deployment slots, CI/CD, which you referred to earlier. You can deploy containers, you can deploy code. So all of the same developer productivity primitives that we have in the managed service are now available to customers on Arc.
Yeah, this is absolutely fantastic. I remember the first time I went into Kubernetes. I'm not a DevOps person. I'm not an Ops person. I was totally overwhelmed. And even though I have a long experience as a developer, so I love that I can have someone who actually understands it, take care of that, and then give me the location and I can just deploy. So this is awesome. So if people want to learn more about all that, about Azure Arc and everything that we saw at Build, where should they go?
So there's documentation in both the portal in the overview pages for all of the primitive services. So if you go to apps, you'll hit it, functions, logic apps, etc. But we've also got the notes in the show notes as well, which will accompany this broadcast as well. So you can go
absolutely. You gave me quite a lot of links. So we are going to put all that in the show notes. The banner you just saw is for those templates that Jeff was actually using in the first part of his demo to deploy that. So basically, we have a whole pipeline, I should say, set up to make things easier. Thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on the show today and talking to us about Azure Arc. Continue to do some great work and making our life as a developer easier. Back to you, Frank, because I believe that you have another special guest, right?
Yes, very excited to welcome Miao Zheng to talk about API management. How are you?
Hey, Frank. Nice to see you again. It's been a while since we talked last time. Really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, well, I heard there was some big announcement about API management at Build. So, could you start by explaining what it is and where are those news?
Yeah, sure. So, I actually have some slides. Let's quickly pull up my screen. So basically, we announced two new features in API management at Build. The first one is WebSocket support in API management. So essentially, this is one of the most requested features from our customers. You know, the feature is currently in public preview. And essentially, it allows customers to manage, protect, secure, and expose their WebSocket APIs in API management alongside their REST and SOAP APIs. So they can manage all these different API types in one place in API management. So the approach we took is WebSocket pass-through. Essentially, client applications will initiate WebSocket connections with API management gateway, and then API management will try to establish a corresponding WebSocket connection with the backend service, right? So there's this one-to-one mapping between client-side connection and the backend side connection. And once this pair of connections are established, API management will be able to proxy messages back and forth between the client's application and the backend service. And the features that are available in public preview include CRUD, operations of WebSocket APIs in your API management instance for managing the new API type. You can also apply most of the existing API management policies to the WebSocket handshake requests for scenarios like authentication and authorization. And for your API consumers, they will be able to browse your WebSocket APIs on the developer portal. They will be able to see documentations, to send test requests, and get onboarded to this API. And We will also be providing metrics and logs for WebSocket APIs as well through our integration with Azure Monitor. So with that, I actually have a very quick demo to show you how it works. Let's roll the video. So essentially, I'm here in the Azure portal. This is my API management demo instance. So to add a new WebSocket API, I will just go to the APIs menu here. You can see there's a new tile called WebSocket API. By clicking on that, I can provide some metadata about my backend WebSocket service. So in this case, I'm just using a very simple echo service. It just sends back whatever it receives, right? So I just need to provide the WebSocket URL along with the name and display name. So now this API has been imported into my API management service. And there is an on-handshake operation, which allows me to apply API management policies to the WebSocket handshake requests for like authentication and authorization. And if I go to the test tab here, this is the test console in Azure portal. So I can easily send a test request to this WebSocket API. So first I need to connect to this API. So now we are connected. So since this is an Echo API, so I'll just try to send a hello world message to it. And as you can see, we just received hello world back, right? So we can keep sending and getting messages back.
Good so choice of message.
So that's on the Azure portal side. And we also have a developer portal for API consumers to discover the APIs, published APIs, right? As you can see, our newly published WebSocket API is listed here as well. And if I click on that, I can see the socket URL, I can see supported WebSocket protocols. And if I click on the try it button here, this is very similar to the Azure portal. So as API consumers, they can play with this API right from here within the developer portal without writing a single line of code. So for example, we can send another message here and we just got the message echoed back. So that is a quick demo of this feature. As you can see, it's very straightforward to publish a WebSocket API in API management. The process is very similar to how you would publish a REST API in API management before. So that is our first announcement at Build. The other new capability we announced is API management self-hosted gateway on Azure Arc for Kubernetes. So if you are familiar or if you are unfamiliar with our self-hosted gateway, it containerizes our gateway components in API management and enables customers to deploy it anywhere, right? It could be on-premises or in another public cloud. The self-hosted gateway expands our support for hybrid and multi-cloud environments and enables customers to securely and efficiently manage their APIs everywhere, right? And this feature has been GA'd since April 2020. So at Build, we announced self-hosted gateway on Azure Arc for Kubernetes. So what's new here is that with our integration with Azure Arc for Kubernetes, it enables customers to install the gateway component as a cluster extension in any Arc-enabled clusters, such as the famous Jeff US, right?
That's pretty cool. I will need to interrupt you, Miao, because the time is flying, and I want to make sure we share again all the link where people can find more details. And like you provide more information, and API management is wonderful. So let's bring Laurent back so he can share all those links.
Frank, you're so excited you forgot my name. This is
your family name doesn't help.
Thank you so much, Miao, for the explanation. It's really fascinating, all those services we have. So quickly, let's show a few links that we have. So here, the first link is a collection of learning paths. You know that we have Microsoft Learn. You can go there to try all this by yourself. It's all free, and you can find everything like that. Second link here, this is all the sessions from Build related to Cloud Native. It's literally hours of content, so you can go and watch them all. And finally, the third link that we have, it's the Cloud Native blog. This is the blog that was published just before Build, or rather together with the session at Build. So thank you so much to all our guests. Maybe we can bring everybody who's still here back. Thank you so much, Frank, for hosting with me. Thank you so much, Andrew and Miao, for taking the time. Shane, of course, for the container part. It was really amazing. And thank you so much for being there. Please, everybody, check our show notes because this is where we will put everything. And then we have really tons of content related to that. Thank you so much for watching the Best of Build, these 2 hours of content that flew really so fast. Everybody, take care of yourself and never stop learning. Thank you so much for watching.
Bye.